Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Wally, Mr. Jamal, I am happy to meet you. We've met for the first time today. I have heard your name around a lot. Like, who is your PR guy?
Basically, in the city of Pittsburgh, whoever I perform in front of, I try to get to every stage that I can in the city.
Well, good job, because it's getting around. So you also write plays too, yes?
Yes. Written a scad of one-act plays that have been done in theater festivals at Pittsburgh Playwrights Theater over the years. Some of them have won Best Play, won Best Actor for this one. The last one that I wrote was Best Play and Best Actor. It was about this guy who was trying to bring back his childhood neighborhood that got, you know, just torn down and whatnot, and it was kind of a lost cause. He was kind of quixotic, you know, in his attempt to, you know, make the impossible happen, and it has a very sad ending.
Hmm. You ever read a comedy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's comedy.
You balance it out a little bit.
Oh, even in the tragedies, it's just full of comedy.
Now, you have quite a distinction at Pittsburgh Playwrights Theater of having performed in 9 of the 10 pieces of August Wilson's Century Cycle.
Yes.
So what happened to that the last one, number 10?
Well, there was a time when they were doing it, I believe it was at the August Wilson Center.
Uh-huh.
And I was asked to read for a part that I knew my friend Kevin Brown was going to get.
Uh-oh.
Some. I'm like, no, that's okay. Just go on and give it to Kev, because I know I wasn't going to do better. And when I went to see it, I was right.
Well,
it was amazing.
Sooner or later, you got to get down there and complete the set. What would they call that? The full Wilson or something? Like, what?
Might as well. Let's call it that. I think we got
some. Wally Jamal is the only guy in Pittsburgh with a full Wilson.
It's first, like, kid on my block was full Wilson.
You're going to get phone calls. But there's a book that you're working on now, too, which is really interesting.
I'm actually republishing a book that was originally published in 1852 by a black man from right here in Pittsburgh. He was the very first black doctor in Pittsburgh. He had the very first black run abolitionist newspaper.
Wow.
In the city, and in the country, past the Alleghenies. And his name was Martin Delaney. He was a major in the Civil War, appointed by Lincoln. He was the highest ranking black man to serve in the Union Army during the conflict.
Wow.
He was an amazing man. And this book that he had put together, he wrote it in 1852, put it together after he was rejected a patent for a portable locomotive engine, because African Americans were not considered citizens and only citizens could obtain patents. So he wrote this book. Now, this was also after he was expelled from Harvard. He was actually accepted into Harvard by Dr. Oliver Wendell Holmes, Sr., and was expelled because of the consternation caused by his presence there.
Jeez.
And he went through a lot of stuff. So he wrote this book, which it illustrates all the accomplishments that he had learned of African Americans up to that point.
Wow.
So there are a lot of people that he talks about in this book that even historians don't know about.
So you're like the guardian of the Holy Grail of information on this guy.
I do look at it as if it is historic gold that has been just walked over for over a century and a half.
Well, how did you yourself come upon his story and get to know about all this?
That's funny, too. I was actually going to the Multicultural Arts Initiative, which was in PPG Place, and to get a grant on a play that I had written about another black man in history named Robert Smalls, and he became a Civil War hero as well. He stole a Confederate flagship when he was a slave, and it was the general's flagship.
What?
And he turned it over to the Union Navy.
How is there not a movie about this guy?
Exactly.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and he wound up the pilot of this boat and went through battle, and became a hero. And he went on to serve on U.S. Congress.
Wow.
He was a congressman. So while I was on my way to the Multicultural Arts Initiative to get the grant to do that, I saw this historic landmark with his name on it, Martin Delaney. I'm like, well, who's this guy? You know, oh, this guy was black. He did what? He was what? And I went to the library and I got books about him. I'm like, oh, he's my next project. And I've been researching him for like the last 8 years now.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I have this YouTube channel, which I'm going to do this book. I'm going to blog each chapter. I'm going to just read each chapter because of the way he wrote was just so passionate.
Wow.
And just so fiery that he really brung it. And when I read it, I just channel him. And to expose all these people that have been just glossed over in American history. Because, and the main thing, my main goal is to abolish black history. Because if it happened in America, it's American history.
That is a way to look at it, absolutely.
That's our motto, history's flip side. If it happened in America, America's history. It's mine, don't steal it.
That's right, copyright, Wally Jamal. Well, you certainly have a passion for history. And the piece that you're involved in now with Prime Stage Theater is A Lesson Before Dying.
Yes.
Is this a historical account?
Well, you could say it is. I mean, it's not an actual, factual historic account, but the things that do occur in this play have happened in such frequency that it's someone who had a relative from that time had something happen to them. They could sit there and be like, that's almost the same thing that happened to my cousin Eustace or my grandfather, and because it's just really real, and it's kind of hard to watch. It's kind of hard to perform, but it's got to be done. We got to reach people. We got to understand that without knowledge of the past, we're going to relive it, and we're not going to go any further from it.
So what can you tell us about the plot of the show without any major spoilers?
Well, basically, it's the story of a young man who is on his way to go somewhere, and he's met by some friends who are in a car. He tells them where he's on his way to. They say, hey, just come on, take a ride with us. And they wind up getting in some serious trouble. And it winds up with him on death row. So it takes place in Louisiana in 1948. And it's Huey Long's Louisiana, and it was so cast. The system was just cast, and that this woman, the young man's godmother, who raised him from a child, did the best she could with him. They referred to him in his trial as a hog. Now, this is his defense attorney describing him, knowing that he's not going to get shown any quarter at all, any justice at all. A white man died, so a black man has to die. Three, four, five black men have to die. Whatever whet their appetite for revenge or justice, their idea of justice. But this woman wants this young man to, she knows he's going to die. There's nothing she can do to stop it. So she wants him to take those last steps on earth as a man, upright, not crying, not screaming, not crawling, not being dragged, as a man, to show them that he's not a hog. And she puts together this teacher with this preacher that I play. The teacher is played by Lamar Darnell Fields, and he's doing a great job in rehearsal. It's, they have such great chemistry. It's so well cast by Rich Keitel. There's this bone of contention this boy turns into between the teacher and the preacher. And it really, I mean, without going too deep into it, this point gets heard and you're like, and this point gets heard and you're like, and it just keeps going. And that is the real action of the play, because neither of us knows why the other is there.
Yeah.
She knows, the godmother knows. And she's played by Tracy Turner, who is doing a fine job, and she's going to mesmerize.
Oh, you've got a great cast. Yes, we're looking forward to seeing it.
Lamont Walker II playing Jefferson, the young man. We've got Eric Martin, Everett Lowe, Lamar Darnell Fields, Hope Anthony, and Tracy Turner, and myself.
So 1948, examining racial bias in the justice system, sadly, I think it's evident why it still resonates today. So how do you think a piece like this can, seeing a play like this now, can be an agent for social change?
I think that it's timeless, that it could have happened in 1848. And would have been just as poignant if it was 1948 or 1998. Because when you really look at it, you don't see, but so much has changed. I mean, when we keep hearing this story over and over about young black males being run over by the judicial system of this country. And we got to wake up. We got to wake other people up. I mean, as time goes on, people are becoming more and more aggressive, even if it's at a snail's pace. It's still moving in the right direction. And we have to do what we can to keep things moving in the right direction and to keep people aware that if you don't learn from this, it's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to you.
So what are you most hoping that your audiences will take away from having seen this production?
First and foremost, get an education. That is the absolute charm, the linchpin to advancement, and to get away from what has been driving us like so deep into despair, that if you learn, if you just look within yourself while you're learning, you will find that you have talents that will enable you to stand before kings, presidents, that we have them, and we have to encourage them and not, shut it out and say, well, I'm not cool. But we really need to start a conversation. That's why we're going to have talkbacks. After this, after a few of our shows, we're going to have these talkbacks to actually engage the audience and see what they've gained from watching it, the input that they can give us and that we can give each other to move on. We want plays like this. Plays like this are written just for this, to start a dialogue.
Right. And that's great that you're giving the opportunity for the audience to do that in a setting afterwards, because I imagine plays like this that are tackling these very timely and heavy social issues, people walk away wanting to talk about it.
Right.
Really getting their wheels turning. And I think that's going to be a great constructive atmosphere. It really puts a whole new layer to the theater-going experience.
Well, I'll tell you what, I had never been a very religious person, and playing this preacher, I now see a lot of what a preacher has to do, what a preacher must convey to his people. I mean, if he's going to make their lives any different or any better, that he has to know what to say to these people. He has to be a really great communicator. You know, Frederick Douglass started out wanting to be a preacher.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he wanted to be a preacher. He married Anna Douglass. She had her own church. She was free. Ah. And so she taught him how to be a preacher.
Now, are you going
to
change professions on us here? Is this what you're prepping us for?
No, not going to do that.
A man of the cloth?
Saving souls. I'm having enough trouble trying to save my own.
Well, you will inspire many through your performance.
Well, because I play a much older guy, so I use a much older voice. I mean, I'm a character actor, and character actors always stay working because they're always somebody different in every show.
There's a lot of characters
right,
out there, yeah.
So I'm kind of old, and I'm, you know, Louisiana, and I'm very soulful when I'm talking. But I can bring the fire because God say there is hope.
I love it. You made me want to, like, testify. That was...
Can I get an amen?
Amen. you're great. But you could do it. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
So we are very much looking forward to see this challenging piece of theater.
Come on, you've got to see this show. This performance is going to be amazing.
So A Lesson Before Dying. Yeah. And I think to end on, you know, a light note... a play on the title. What is one lesson that you want to learn before dying? What's on your bucket list? What does Wally Jamal have to do?
I tell you what, I want to skydive.
Yeah, me too.
I do want to skydive.
Let's go. Nobody will go with me.
Really?
No, I can't believe this. I mean, I'm in, you know, the theatrical community. You would think everybody's dying to go.
Martini
Nobody
at
will
30,000 feet.
Yes.
Martini's at 30,000 feet. Hey, you heard it. We're going to do it.
Right, and you know, I think they give you a lesson on how, I mean, what is there to know other than jump?
A lesson before dying.
Right.
A lesson before jumping.
That may be your last one, yeah. I would like to learn how to play the piano. I know that's not as exciting, but I just want to sit down, you know, when there's a piano in the room and just like Jimmy Durante it, like, ha-cha-cha, let's go, you know?
Yeah.
But... I don't know. You know how some people have the capacity for it and some don't? I think I'm one of those because math, it's the same thing. My mind just shuts off. I mean, you start talking numbers to me, I'm like, forget it. But, you know, I just don't think I have that capacity to get it.
I tell you what, and I have to apologize to this lady. I'm going to give you a plug. Bridget Perdue.
Yeah?
You know her?
No.
She's a piano player. She jams. She's beautiful.
Wait a minute. Yes, I do know her. Yes, I do.
She's going to give me lessons, and I just got too busy, and I never got around. But I'm still going to come get those lessons from you. Maybe we'll come together.
I do know Bridget. Okay, so, yeah. And taking piano lessons from her, I think, would be lovely. There's a piano in my house. It sits there and collects dust.
You got to now.
Right. So I'll work on piano. You book the skydive, okay? And I'll take care of the martinis.
All right.
But before we kick the bucket. Sound good?
Thank you.
Thank you, Wally. We're looking forward to seeing you on stage.
All right.
Cheers.
Enjoy.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.